Today's show is brought to you by Warby Parker. Please visit warbyparker.com/cadcast for your next pair of eyeglasses. Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 491. I'm your host, GPD, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we are joined by a man who might be racist, if the price is right, Wombat.
How much you got?
I'm not interested in sponsoring your racist viewpoints.
So which race am I against for money this time, this week?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
We'll talk about that later in the show.
Yes, we will get to that.
Shipwreck!
Yes.
We can talk about you at this point in the show.
Okay. I am not a horrible human being, hopefully.
That's debatable.
There's still time.
I've known you for a long time.
Yeah. There's plenty of time left, too, for a proper heel turn.
Mm-hmm. I just got to start my YouTube channel.
I think, aren't you the subject of Jason Isbell's new album of The Horrible American? Isn't that you?
I don't know. Unless he says my name specifically, I'm going to assume not.
Is he really writing an article about A Horrible American?
Well, he wouldn't write an article. He'd write an album.
No. His new album is called The Nashville Sound. It'll be out this summer, I believe.
And it's an up-tempo, like, rockin' album, and I'm actually quite looking forward to it, but it's neither here nor there.
Okay. I was confused. I know that.
Shipwreck still won't tell him to be my friend, and that's why he's a bad person.
What am I supposed to tell him? Hey, psst, there's this guy. He wants to be your friend.
Yes, that is exactly what I want you to tell him.
What's the end game there? What are you hoping to get out of this friendship?
That's it.
Sweatshirt?
No, don't need a sweatshirt.
Concert tickets?
Nope, don't even need that.
Hand job?
That wouldn't be bad.
If you visit Cincinnati when he's in town, I'll introduce you to him.
Yeah, we'll go get some three ways. And by that, I mean the chili mac.
Plus hand job.
And a hand job, yeah.
Yeah, that would, Wombat, get on that. How about a Twitter campaign?
I don't think so.
Hashtag be my friend, Isbell.
Yep. I just want to get that random happy birthday tweet. That would be cool. You got a month, Shipwreck. Get cracking.
Happy 40th birthday.
Yeah. I've got a month. It's still March. Your birthday isn't until May.
No. That's true. You have a month to start really thinking about it hard.
Yeah.
It's like the year of Luigi, but it's every year for Wombat's birthday.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
It's really like a trimester. Speaking of hard, how about that blizzard?
Yeah, that was something.
I had a hard time shoveling my driveway. I didn't appreciate that wet snow.
No, it was a pain in the ass. It was a difficult shovel. I could also concur.
I had my, my $200 electric snowblower that I bought from Home Depot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not great in the wet snow.
No, those things, the electric ones tend to be garbage.
Yeah,
so
you should have just went, the guy across the street's got the real gasoline powered one. That's what you probably have, right, Chip? You have something like that?
No.
No, you just have some guy come and do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that makes a lot of sense.
That works out great, because then I don't have to store the thing.
Right. See, and my neighbor has.
I don't have to get out there.
My neighbor has a garage that's bigger than most people's houses. It's like a three car, like ridiculous garage. So he can have he can have whatever he wants. But I have room for an electric snowblower, and I didn't quite go wide enough to get my car out of the garage. Like, I mean, to get it out of the garage was okay, but to sort of get it out of the driveway and into the street, I didn't do a great job. And it just turned to ice. It's like Game of Thrones. ice.
Yeah, I went out there because I went out three times yesterday.
That was my mistake.
Once when it was kind of not that bad, just to kind of get clear the walkway and all that kind of stuff, the porch. And then I went out a little bit later and I could tell that it was starting to, when it was raining out and it was very wet. And I wound up just like at the foot of my driveway, just shoveling shovels full of water over to the side, trying to keep it as clear as I could. I built little dams out of the snow that was there.
Oh, look at you.
So
I got to call you for strategy next time.
And it totally worked because my neighbor across the street just had a big old ice sheet in front of her driveway. And I was able to, you know, I was pretty clear. I also got lucky with my sidewalks. So neighbors on both sides of me, plus one neighbor over, all got new snow blower plow things this year. You know, the good gas powered ones.
Not the shitty one that I got.
Yeah, and they all want to show them off.
Right, because so it's overkill for just their house.
Yeah, so they will do my sidewalk and be like, huh? Huh? I'm like, yeah, no, you totally have a nicer one than John next door. Definitely. No, you have the nicest one.
It's good, yeah.
Care. Yeah, so I'm taking advantage of my neighbor's egos.
Yeah. It didn't. I was hoping that my neighbor with the super snowblower was going to see me struggling and
offer to help.
And just they like, yeah, I mean, and just like roll it right over across the street. But no, I mean, he's got a lot of work to do.
I knew that my neighbor was going to do mine because I went over to his house earlier that day because his wife had the flu and Laura made her matzo ball soup. So I brought over matzo ball soup and in return, I got my sidewalks done.
Yeah.
See, that's neighborly right there.
I spent about an hour today chipping away ice to try to widen my exit from my house.
So when I was walking home from work in the Manhattan, where they did nothing, it's like they literally did nothing on the streets of Manhattan. It's gross.
It's always
walking, and there was like this little bank that was like 2 feet of snow, and I had to like climb over it to get from, I don't know, let's say 36th Street onto the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my foot, and my foot went right into it. And I pulled my leg out, and my leg came out. My shoe did not. And then the snow where my shoe was just fell right into my shoe.
Oh, and it's so deep into the snow
that I had to put my other foot down with no, the one that had no shoe on. I had to put both feet on the ground in order to get my hand in there to pull my shoe out, which was now full of snow.
Wait, what time is this? Is this like at...
This was tonight.
Going to Penn Station?
Yes. So I had to ride home on the train with a wet shoe and a wet sock.
But luckily, only probably like 200 people saw it happen.
Yeah, exactly. If someone was filming it, it probably would be viral.
Only the most crowded part of the city at the most crowded time.
Uh-huh. And I'm standing there like a jackass with my shoe and trying to get the snow out and trying not to put my foot down too much. And
poor wombat.
With my numb left foot.
That's why you have to tie your shoes nice and tight.
I thought I did. What do I know? Hmm. Not tight enough. The wombat story.
Something's going on in my life where everything has started to break at the same time. Within like
it's called being a homeowner.
No, but it's not just that. I got a punctured tire.
Okay.
I got my oven stopped working. The range, like you know, the gas range. This was like no major thing, but like the rubber washer that is between the dial and the stove just like tore apart. But it's some like proprietary one that fits in there. The vacuum cleaner this morning just fell apart. The head of it just fell off and you can see the wires sticking out. But in all of these cases, I didn't complain on Twitter. But I just found their customer support account and sent them a message on Twitter. And in all of these cases, it's being taken care of for free. Even though it's not
the wombat way.
No, but I didn't complain. I just sent them a message, you know, directly. I didn't put it into my feed.
Wombat doesn't complain.
No, but I didn't put it into my feed is what I'm saying. I just sent them a message.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
I see.
I just sent them a message that only they would see unless people were reading their feed of mentions. Yeah. So that, at least that worked out for me. That was nice to have some like good.
I didn't get that big Schlotsky's follow this week.
I did not. I don't know that I got any big follows. Oh no, we did. We got Tyco following, at Video Game Deals.
Tyco Toy Company?
No, Tyco from Penny Arcade.
Wow, that's significantly less impressive.
And it's not the DJ either. You probably didn't know there was a DJ named Tyco, but he's pretty popular. Am I correct?
Sure. Why not?
No, I'm saying you never heard of him, is what I'm saying.
No. No, I've not.
How about some show feedback?
Sure. We got Bardia27 saying, I don't mind you guys criticizing games, hardwares, movies, etc., but you can sound a bit pompous when you state your opinion as if it's a fact. Only saying this in regards to Wombat's thoughts on Logan. And he quotes me, some people are saying this is a Best Picture contender. I am sorry, it's not. It's a good movie, but it's not Best Picture.
Can you reread your quote in your nerd voice?
Okay. Some people are saying that this is a Best Picture contender. I'm sorry, it's not. It's a good movie, but it's not Best Picture. Is that good? Thank you. I personally like the movie and can see why it resonated with some folks to the point where they think it's the best movie of the year so far. If you need me to tell you that my opinion is opinion, then you have bigger problems than your comment than you left.
I think it's pretty clear that nothing that Wombat says is a fact.
Well, I think it's pretty clear when I'm stating opinion.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't think I have to. You know, in my opinion, this isn't a Best Picture contender. Sorry, no. I'm not changing my speech patterns because it offends your sensibilities.
You're supposed to
get over
just
it.
Preface everything that's your opinion. Just say, in my opinion. How hard is that?
In my opinion, Bardia27 is an asshole. In
you
my
put
opinion.
Honest in there as well, though, Wombat.
Honest opinion.
That,
in my honest
that way
opinion.
You're not lying.
Oh, yeah. In my honest opinion, Bardia27 needs to spend more time with real human beings.
Whoa. Why do you got to be a dick about it?
It's my opinion.
On behalf of the CADcast, I would like to apologize for Wombat's statement. That was a joke.
I know. I also was joking too, but you know.
I know you were.
But I have to say that also, right? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. My opinion is actually a joke too in this scenario.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Unless we're stating math, it's our opinion.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Or like, you know, the colors of things. Like if I have a yellow baseball bat in my hand, which I do, I can say this is a yellow baseball bat.
Right. In the case of math, it may be just Wombat's opinion.
Wah, wah.
All right.
I do lots of math in a day.
Good for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on rocking. Anyway. How about some more rock and show feedback?
Sure. Warmonged has to say, I don't think there's anything wrong with being critical. I think there's a difference between being critical and negative, and I do think it matters. No one wants to listen to whining.
Right. And on the flip side, no one wants to listen to just sunshine all the time and everything's awesome and blah, blah, blah. We love everything. That's boring too.
What's exciting about that? What's constructive? Anyway, we are going to talk about things that I like though right now.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Such as?
Because we're going to talk about Watch This Bitches. Mm. And it looks like someone watched two things that I've seen and I put something else on there.
Elegantly handled.
Uh-huh. I thought so. Who put these two things on there?
Maybe it was two different people each putting one thing on there. What do you think about that?
I don't believe that. Nope. No, because the font is the same. And font is like handwriting. No, my theory doesn't hold water.
I'm not sure. We may need to investigate. No, we saw Jungle Book during the blizzard since Ty was home from school.
It's on Netflix, I'm assuming?
It's on Netflix, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. I had, of course, seen the original, but Ty had not. And they did an amazing job you know, computerizing. There was only one point where, like, the tiger.
Is that a word? Computerizing?
I don't know what they did. Well, they computerized animals. I don't know how they did it. I'm sure there's some. They basically filmed animals.
No, tell us about the computerizing. Well,
I'm
going to
explain the computerizations and the compu functions.
Is that the name of the show?
Computer.
CatCast 491, computerized.
Computron.
Uh huh. Anyway.
They only, like, Grand Moff Tarkin'd the tiger like one scene where his head looks like it's floating a little too strangely on his body. But
Andy Serkis didn't do a good job at that. He wasn't a convincing tiger.
It was something with the computerizationals. I don't know. It was a little off, basically. It didn't look like you said, hey, oh, this is fake. But the rest of it, I mean, they did a pretty amazing job of making it look like.
They have all the songs in that, or do they strip the songs out?
Yes. No, they do. They have. I mean, there aren't that many songs in that movie to begin with. There's really like three.
They had Bare Necessities, and I think that's it.
I Want to Be Like You.
Oh, yeah. They had that. Yeah. But it was short until you.
And there's the song that the snake sings.
The snake,
but
Ka.
Yeah, but that's only at the ending credits. Is that a spoiler?
No.
Ka doesn't sing in the movie?
No. No. Yeah, it was good. Ty enjoyed it a lot. And it,
well, my kids, we saw that in the theaters. We liked it.
No nightmares.
No, not. I don't have to get into that.
Right. Wombat had nightmares from.
I did not have nightmares. Sabrina was talked into watching Goosebumps by her friend and her younger brother on Sunday. And of course, Sabrina had nightmares. So what can you do?
When you told me that story, Wombat, you know, I noticed it was on Netflix, and I asked Ty if he wanted to watch that. He's like, no, that looks scary. Pass.
Yep. It was the puppet.
I don't know anything about it. It's
this ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah.
That's the funhouse. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. The funhouse.
Yeah.
Pinball dummy.
He doesn't want that shit. Yeah. I guess Ship saw Moana.
I did see
Moana. Oh, whatever.
That's a quality Disney princess film.
Yep, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. The soundtrack is great. I had been listening to the soundtrack for about 4 months on my way to and from preschool.
Shiny is a baller song, though.
They're all great. But the soundtrack itself has probably, I don't know, twice as many songs than what the movie has.
Oh, weird.
Like, they cut a ton. And they're all good songs because they're all by Lin-Manuel, the Hamilton guy.
Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Yeah, I couldn't remember what his...
That's okay.
What his last name was. He's got too many names.
It's ethnic.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, Ship lives in Ohio. They don't have that type of stuff there.
Gotcha.
They just have chili. That's about as ethnic as it gets.
No, it's really good, though. I think you would like it, Cheapy.
I've seen it.
You have seen Moana.
Yeah, we saw it in the theater. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's not quite. It's not going to become Frozen or Tangled in my house, but it's a strong third, I would say, as far as her having to stop and sing the song whenever it comes on.
Perfect.
Elliot watched it today, so yeah, it'll get some replay in my house.
Troy Polamalu did a fantastic job. He's in that movie. I'm not just making a joke.
I know yeah. He is.
The only, we watched the making of, and like all of the actors were from the Pacific Islands or had that heritage behind them, like The Rock and Troy Polamalu, except for one, the chicken.
Oh, yeah, Isaac Bernstein. Yeah,
No, it was...
Alan Tudyk was the chicken.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk.
He's in all their movies now. He's right. Like a good luck charm. Since he was King Candy.
He just made chicken noises in this one.
Sweet. All right. What else? Who's watching Crashing?
I'm watching Crashing on HBO. That is a show that is not for children of any way, shape, or form.
I tried to watch
episode. There's like screaming and yelling going on in my
house. Oh, really? Let's get the microphone close to it. We want to hear.
Sorry. It's a little distracting. I've been watching Crashing on HBO. It's very good. If you would like it, Cheapy. It's a comedy, but it's not it's a little depressing at the same time.
Right. I watched about half of the first episode because it got my attention because it's the name of the episode is Artie Lang. And,
yeah, he's in it.
I know. I assume that. but Mrs. Chivy wants nothing to do with it. And I sort of tricked her into watching the first 10 minutes. But as soon as she realized that she was being tricked, she put a stop to that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it seemed pretty good. I'd like to watch more of it.
You should. You at least watch the first two episodes because Artie Lang is in a good chunk of the first two.
Does he look horrible?
Yes, he does. He looks really frightening. But he's very funny.
Okay. Does he look like he's going to die soon?
He does. Yeah. So you should watch it to support, his last efforts. But no, it's very good. It's funny. Pete Holmes is very good. As someone who's a Pete Holmes fan and has been for a long time, since before his podcast started. Mm. It's really interesting knowing his story and seeing it on screen.
Oh, is it about him, basically?
Yeah, it's autobiographical, but it's sort of taken out of time because it obviously takes place today, like in 2016, not 10 years ago when he was going through it, or earlier. But it's cool, and then there's a lot of other stand-ups in it that play themselves, but like heightened versions of themselves because obviously it's a TV show. Mm. So it's interesting and it's worth checking out. So it was just renewed for a second season. So you don't have to worry about HBO canceling it if you start to like it.
Right. All right, that's Crashing.
Crashing. Yes.
At Marky Marg 2 writes in and asks, why is Wombat so critical of movies, but gives a free pass? Why are you highlighting it while I'm trying to read it? It's very distracting.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's like giving me a scene. It's like a pink. Mm-hmm. Imagine trying to read something off of a screen while like a pink highlighter is flickering on and off. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Stop doing it.
Now I can't.
Come on. Why is Wombat so critical of movies but gives a free pass to most Marvel films despite them being terrible?
Marvel films are terrible?
I don't know what he means by that. I mean, some of them are fantastic and some of them are like just fine.
I don't even think I give them a free pass. You said I give them a free I think some of them are very flawed and some of them are amazing, but so now I'm critical of movies and I guess he means Marvel Studios because, I gave Logan some crap. I got so much hate from having a less than perfect opinion of Logan. Like my opinion, it changes someone else's way to view that movie.
It is weird how that
works. You should give a dissenting opinion about Zelda and see how that goes.
Seriously. You know. It was so strange because I was reading that this week too, reading all the comments. Shipwreck is referring to Jim Sterling's review and seeing how he was the reaction he was getting. And I got maybe one millionth of that for my Logan opinion. And even that was enough.
Too much.
Yeah, even that was too much. And I didn't even dislike Logan. I liked it a lot. I just had criticisms about the middle. Like I'm a terrible human being for not thinking that something you thought was perfect was perfect.
Yeah.
And I don't think I give Marvel films a free pass. And I'm critical about a lot of things because it's just, I don't know. Just how
I think you're too easy on DC films.
Huh? DC films are terrible. my son watched Superman 78 during the blizzard.
Yeah, he must have been bored to tears.
He did not like it.
It's very long and slow.
Yeah, he did not like it.
It's not for...
I was surprised.
I wasn't.
I enjoyed it.
It's not really
it.
For kids.
No.
Yeah, sure it is.
There's like a solid 20 minutes in there that kids could enjoy.
Well... The Lois Lane Superman flying over Manhattan scene or Metropolis feels so long now. Like it feels like it's an hour of them just flying in the sky.
Right.
It's very strange.
Daddy, can I stop watching now?
He just started playing with his toys on the floor.
Good call.
Yep. But anyway, I don't know. I guess I'll be. Should I? So is. So what is the consensus here? Am I not critical enough, or should
you're
I
be fine? More don't worry about it. People,
I'm very confused by you people.
I just put this on there because I don't know. I know you like questions that are asking about you specifically, so I figured I would put it on there.
Well,
everybody likes it. Who doesn't like it?
Yeah. What about this one?
At Richvoss writes, "Why don't you flash it a little?" You should change the size of the font while I'm reading it. It'd be perfect. At Rich Voss writes in and asks, what do you think about Warner Brothers looking into rebooting The Matrix? You changed the font. You made it smaller after I read it.
Yes, I did. Sorry, I'm laughing at myself.
And then he laughed at it like it had no effect on me whatsoever. But he literally entertained himself while making the show and then laughed.
Someone has to entertain. This show has to entertain someone. It might as well be me. First time ever.
Maybe we do need to have like cameras set up. And like Wombat's desktop needs to be broadcast live while we're doing the show. I think it might be more entertaining than the show.
It's possible. where was I going? Anyway.
Well, the Matrix reboot.
The Matrix. So here's my theory on that. Because I read this on, actually earlier today. Someone posted this on Twitter and I don't know who to give credit to. But I will agree with this point. If it means we get better Matrix sequels, I'm all for it. Because Matrix 2 and 3 were pretty awful.
Right. Well, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to make a good sequel.
Matrix 2, it had its moments.
Definitely.
It just had that 45-minute rave scene in it that was...
Yeah, which really, is all that anyone remembers.
Right. That's really... Other than that, I think that movie's actually like a pretty good action movie.
Is that like the one with with the ghost twins?
Yeah, the ghost twins and the car chase.
Yeah, with the bus, is it a truck that flips over or a bus that flips over?
Some big vehicle. We've all only seen this movie once.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Right. We've seen the original
but
one.
But isn't that
times.
The biggest indictment of that movie? Because I must have seen the first Matrix a bajillion times. Like if that movie's on and I'm home and it's on TV, I'll put that movie. It's a great, like I've seen this movie enough. I could just have it on in the background and do what I'm doing.
I think the problem the second and third one kind of had was that the first one made you feel like smart while you were watching it. Like there was just something about the way the story unfolded. And I don't know. It was just interesting to watch. But by the time you got to the second and third ones, it was like, I never got to the third one. I don't know. I don't think I ever watched it, but it was, I don't know. It was just, okay, these effects are okay, but the story is not great.
Well, it made you feel dumb because you had no idea what was going on.
Right. Like the first one, it was all self-contained. It all made sense. He flies off at the end. You just assume that he just goes and kicks asses and fixes everything. So I don't know. Like a reboot, are they? They'd have to go and really restructure the story, which doesn't work. Traditionally, like I think about Total Recall, and it's like this is kind of the same movie, but it kind of sucks.
Yeah, the Total Recall remake was not very good at all.
Yeah,
that was disappointing. Am I being too critical, people? You can let me know if I'm being too critical about the Total Recall remake.
I never saw it. The reviews were so bad that I couldn't even bring myself to watch it.
Honestly, its biggest crime is being forgettable.
Mm-hmm. And they never go to Mars.
Yeah. And they don't get their ass to Mars. The thing also with The Matrix is, you know, it's what was so great about the first Matrix movie was it was a surprise. Like you didn't really know what The Matrix was. They did a really good job. I mean, it wasn't quite pre-internet, but it was dawn of internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this dawn of internet movie before everything could get spoiled before marketing departments, I guess, really got out of hand with it too. So they did a really good job of getting, you know, of word of mouth on that movie. Like, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
What the
and
is,
it was right on the edge of like the technology was there as well. Like the action scenes were not stuff that we had seen a lot of before.
Unless you watched Hong Kong.
Right. But even that, it like,
yeah, they had more money. They had a lot more money.
More guns, more slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was more.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And then you watched it a million times because it was basically a reference, the reference for your DVD player.
It was on DVD.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
It was on DVD.
It was,
you could
that
watch
was the
specific
one.
Scenes.
Yep. I owned that. It was one of the first DVD. I think it was like the first DVD a lot of people bought.
Let's yeah. let's watch that bank scene again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Even that music was new.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the Mortal Kombat music.
No.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yep.
Checks
yep.
out.
Yep. There is no spoon. So I guess the hardest part of rebooting the Matrix would be how do you capture that feeling again? And I don't know if it's possible.
Right. That's why I think that's a big reason why a lot of these reboots fail is... You can't. I mean, this look. There's only one. You can only watch RoboCop for the first time once. And what are you going to do? You're gonna remake it?
Well, I think it also has to do a lot with the premise itself. Like there, I think a reason why a reboot of Star Trek, why I think that worked, is the premise itself is already so open ended. It's not a self contained thing. It's about the, you know, the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. So that's a story that you could keep adding on to forever. And if you, you know, in a smart reboot that just kind of, you know, change the cast more than anything else, allows you to progress in many ways from what Star Trek already was.
Yeah.
Did I make any sense?
No, I hear what you're saying. There's a lot of Star Trek stories to be told, and
it's a
good vehicle
even the
for
same
telling
thing-
them.
Exactly. The same thing with, you know, with a comic book movie. If it's already something that's been serialized, then you can kind of reboot it because there's still story to tell. With something like The Matrix or a Total Recall or even Ghostbusters.
Or a Spider-Man movie.
Or, well, a Spider-Man origin story. Is there still that story, you know, are you telling the same story again or is there more story to tell? Right. And I guess that's the big question.
There could be more Matrix to tell because those the Matrix Reanimated or whatever that was called, that's what it was called.
Yeah, yeah,
like there were some interesting ones. Mm-hmm. Those little shorts. So if you go and make a different story that's not Neo,
yes, that could be good.
That could be fine.
Yeah, I'm not working on the Matrix, so I could be very wrong, but I don't just yeah that's the big if there's more story to tell. So there you go. I think we answered that question for too long.
We watched this. We did it, bitches. Anything for read this, bitches? Anybody reading anything?
Not really. Oh.
I finished the book I talked about last week, Canary. It was excellent. A delightful
romp. I've
read
some comic books. Does that count for anything?
No.
Okay.
No. New release? Are there anything in these new releases that we're going to be talking about? It doesn't look that... This looks like this is an off week.
For PlayStation 4, the Danganronpa, I hate trying to say that, 1 and 2 Reload came out. And those are excellent Vita games that they've brought to the PS4.
Well, I'm actually going to highlight some stuff on this list for you while you're trying
okay,
to
Okay, great.
It. Hold on. Stand by.
Highlight.
Stand by for pink.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's ooh.
On the Switch, that Blaster Master Zero came out.
Did you get it?
It's gotten good reviews. I'm not buying anything on the Switch while Zelda is still there needing to be played. Because
so is it the same Blaster Master on the Switch that's on the 3DS? Are they the same exact game or are they different?
Oh, did they also put it out? It's got to be the same game. Because it's a retro looking game. It's not a modern thing. So it would be the same on a 3DS, I would guess.
Okay. Just curious. Curse.
But yeah, I'm not buying anything else for the Switch until I finish Zelda. Because if I turn on the Switch, I'm doing it to play Zelda.
I hear you.
You're still playing Zelda, Chibi?
I decided to stop playing Zelda until I finish Horizon. Because the Switch is too, not the Switch console, but the switch from one game to another is too drastic visually. And
they're similar games, but they're very, you have to be in a different mindset.
Exactly.
When you're playing them, it's a different experience.
You're going from basically hyper realism to anime.
Fantastical world.
Anime.
Right.
So yeah, it's quite a bit of a difference.
I've got about 35 hours, I think, or so into Zelda now. So I've finished 2 out of the 4 main dungeons. The main dungeons are the weakest point of this game, which is disappointing to me because traditionally Zelda overworlds have not been my bag, but the dungeons have been all I've wanted to play. So I don't know. This one has a great overworld and then kind of substandard dungeons from a Zelda game.
I guess that's the price you pay for a big open world.
Yeah, because I think it is, because a lot of the greatness to the other Zelda dungeons is all built upon like the Metroid type gameplay, where you go and you get a specific item and you use that item to kind of solve the puzzles. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is, you have all your powers basically at the beginning of the game. You're augmenting them, getting them a little bit better as you go along. But all the dungeons feel samey then. You're just basically hitting switches and different parts of the dungeons are moving around. They're very small too. They're only like, at least the two I've done only have maybe 4 or 5 rooms to them.
Oh.
And I get it that there's like hundreds of these shrines that are around that are more bite-sized dungeons that have the interesting puzzle aspects, but it's still, it kind of misses something for me that there's not like a memorable dungeon so far.
Well, maybe the last one is.
Yeah, I think that's what people have kind of responded to me on Twitter with, like, the last dungeon is really what they would have liked to see more of.
Calamity Dungeon?
Sure. It's still a great game.
Okay. even though he's called Calamity Ganon, it's still a great game.
Yeah, even though it's called Calamity Ganon.
How come nobody, like, nobody said anything?
It's funny.
Is it?
I know it's funny.
Okay. It sort of takes you out of the moment.
Zelda Japanese charm.
I guess so. For me, it's just sort of like a little bit of a, like, you know, getting shaken while you're playing the game. Like, hey, wake up. It's just this weird game. That's okay.
You said Ty was playing some of it too?
Ty played some, but he hasn't played any over the last couple of days. I mean, he's really, when it comes down to it, he likes Minecraft and he's really enjoying Imaginators, Skylanders. That's his, nice. Where his focus is.
Nice. Fair enough.
Anything else in these new releases? I think not.
No, not really. I mean, there's Mass Effect that's coming to count. EA Access
tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow, right? Isn't that when I get to play it, or today?
We have a question about that later, so hold your thoughts on Mass Effect.
All right.
Hold your pants. Is that it? So that's it.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, how about a word from our sponsor this week, Warby Parker? I know Shipwreck as one of the 3 members here who wears glasses. 2 out of the 3 do, I guess, but only Ship has tried Warby Parker.
Mm-hmm. I was very happy with my Warby Parker glasses. It's nice. You just pick out several different styles, up to 5 of them, and then they ship them to you for free, and you try them on, see which ones you like, and you then ship them back, and there's no obligation to buy. And then from there, they're very reasonably priced. If you pick out a pair that you like, they start at $95. That is including the prescription, the lenses.
You need those.
Which is, yeah. And they're anti-glare and the anti-scratch lenses too. So I've been like very surprised with how good the quality of my glasses is, for like, that's cheap for glasses, $95.
I find that anything ordered by an app is better.
Mm-hmm.
I had 2 meals the other day that were, I ordered by apps and they were fantastic. So yeah, go to warbyparker.com/cadcast and check it out. And yeah, use the free home try-on program. That sounds fun. I want to, like, I wish I wore glasses so I could try this.
No, you can try it, because they also have sunglasses as well.
I'll say, go check out some sunglasses, dude.
Right. And every pair of glasses that are purchased through Warby Parker, they also give another pair to someone in need. So that's nice as well.
Nice. Nice. Cool. Well, yeah. So go to warbyparker.com/CADcast. You can also check out the app. The app is supposed to be pretty cool. So, yeah. Thanks, Warby Parker. All right. It's time for multi-platforming and Wombat's Overwatch Onslaught. Woohoo!
Woo.
And other news and stuff.
Yeah.
At Forrest Bates writes in and he asks, did you all talk about the Overwatch League? Looking forward to New York having another pro team.
How's that game going for you?
I play it a lot still, dude.
I believe you.
Too much.
That's what I'm asking.
I like it. I'm not, you know, I'm not good at it, but I still have fun playing. I just played Capture the Flag the other day to get the loot box. And I got a shitty ass loot box. But so yeah, I guess Blizzard is starting their own esports Overwatch League. And
okay, so this is different than the one that's already on TV?
Yes, this is Blizzard. This is Blizzard doing it. You can buy in and get your own Overwatch franchise for a couple mil.
Okay.
And right. They're going to you'll basically have a pool of players to draw upon and draft your own team and mm-hmm. sign them, and they're going to play in stadiums and shit. It looks pretty crazy. It's a real
thing. I
don't
think I do any of that. Nope. I watched some of the other one that was on TV.
What'd you think?
It looked, I don't know. It looked like any of the rest of these things where the announcers are shouting at stuff at the screen, and I'm just watching people play video games.
But they're good at it, though.
I guess. Oh. They seem to be.
Sure. I'll take your word for it.
I watched these guys play once, and I saw the guy, and I could see that he was ridiculously amazing. You know, I could tell there was a big difference between when I play and when this guy plays. I could see why he would get paid.
Certainly. I don't know.
You don't care.
It doesn't do anything for me. I know it does stuff for plenty of people.
Ship is too much of a natural athlete to be bothered with this esports stuff.
No, it just doesn't. Yeah, I don't know. I like watching, sports that I play. So I get the appeal there, like that if people are really into video games and they enjoy watching other people compete at them. But it just does nothing for me. I just get bored if I'm watching somebody else play a video game.
But what about, would you go to a stadium? I don't think you'd be bored if you watched this in a stadium and everybody's cheering and they got all the screens up.
Oh, I can't imagine anything more painful.
What do you mean? Why would it be painful?
I mean, I went to some of those Major League Gaming events, remember?
Yeah. Wasn't it fun?
And I watched some people play. But
they're at another level now, I think. That was a long time ago. I think there's a lot more money in it now, and I think just the spectacle of it is probably a lot grander.
Is there a spectacle? Is there beer and hot dogs?
Yeah, all that shit. It's a fucking...
Yeah, it's reached Wizard level. Like, it's the Wizard Nintendo Championship level.
Is there a guy with a power glove that's like a jerk?
In the crowd. In the crowd.
That's the heel.
mm-hmm. It's a real... Dude, Wombat, this is a big deal now.
No, it certainly is.
They're filling stadiums.
There's plenty of things that are big deals that I just
NASCAR's a big deal. I don't want to go see
that. I get
NASCAR's fun.
I don't think it would be right. Shipwreck liked it.
Same thing with and Monster Jam. I went to one of those ones.
Also fun. It's an enjoyable experience.
That was enough.
I don't know. I would like to go to an Overwatch.
I'm also a critical grump, so,
If there was, some sort of Skyrim theater presentation, not theater, but, stadium presentation where, I don't know. I'm having a hard time coming up with something that you'd be interested in.
Explain to me where it's better than me sitting at home and playing Skyrim. That's what
I guess I can't. But I could see it being exciting watching, the top Overwatch players or any sport, any game that you are into, watching these guys compete at world-class levels and having it be produced like a real professional sport. I think that would be exciting to watch live. Sue me.
No, I don't want to sue you.
Okay, fine.
I also don't want to watch it.
That's fine. I would probably not want to watch it either, except for a game that I really am into, like Overwatch.
Right. I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch hockey generally either. So it's fine.
Oh, I miss hockey. That's Seth Macy writes in, and he asks, why are big name YouTubers going from Let's Plays to concerns of racial purity? That's a well-crafted question right there.
It is a good
one. It's a fine line.
So, yeah, I mean, we've had over the last few weeks, we've had a few big names in the news, but they're all, each person was sort of in the news for different things. And they're all getting lumped together.
I honestly think one thing is very different than another.
Yeah, they are, I think. Yeah. So you have PewDiePie with all the, you know, paying the Indian guys $5 for the death to the Jews sign and all the, and his other really funny jokes. Then you have Colin from Kinda Funny. Is his last name really Moriarty?
I believe so, yes.
Like the villain from Sherlock Holmes.
From Sherlock Holmes,
okay,
yes.
Just checking. Sometimes I'm like, I read things weirdly and I don't actually read them. Anyway.
I get it.
Okay. Here's the problem when discussing these guys is that we don't watch them at all. I don't think, right? Are you familiar with JonTron or do you Kinda Funny?
I don't like watch that. I know of Colin just simply because of retweets and stuff on Twitter. And okay. I know that I've found a lot of his stuff kind of questionable, like worded or distasteful in the past. So I've never like even followed or anything.
Right. In general, we don't watch these.
It's the same thing with esports.
Right. But we can still talk about this weird sort of thing that's going on without having to be familiar with the content that they produce. So there's Colin. And I guess most recently, Colin put out a tweet during the Women's Day, International Women's Day. And the tweet was something like hashtag peace and quiet, finally. Right. It was a day without women. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he made like a joke, like, you know, make me a sandwich, basically.
Well, no, he made a peace and quiet joke.
I know. It's at the same level of like, oh, I can't get a sandwich.
Yes, it wasn't particularly clever. No, I wouldn't say that.
Right. And people,
I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever read on Twitter. I don't know about that.
Not
either.
Even close. It's a weak joke
at best. Yes. It was just a weak joke. But the thing is, I'm not, like you said, I'm not that big a fan of his.
A big a fan?
I don't know him personally. Huh?
A big a fan? Do you follow any of their stuff? Do you watch any kind of
funny
stuff?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not really familiar.
Or anybody's for that matter.
Yeah, like, taken as its own thing in a bubble, and someone saying, look at this joke someone posted on International Women's Day, I would be like, yeah, that's not the best joke. And then I would probably just go on.
With the rest of your day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I agree with him because I don't. I'm not saying that I like the joke because I don't.
Right.
But I'm also.
But I think what happened was people got offended, I guess. And, you know, their kind of funny group likes to be all inclusive. And they didn't, you know, they don't want to alienate people who thought the joke was in bad taste or just not funny or didn't even know that it was a joke. And I guess Colin refused to just say like, hey, I'm sorry, or, you know, I didn't, or anything. Just he stuck with it. He was willing to basically say, hey, you guys are just, if you don't get my funny joke, then too bad for you. And I'm going on with the rest of my life. And that led to him deciding not to show up at Penny Arcade Expo in Boston and then quitting like a couple days later. And then you have this other guy, JonTron, who is now somehow.
So he's like, what, a full on racist? Is that what I'm supposed to get from him?
I guess so. He's a.
Yeah, see, that's a very different thing.
Yes.
That is not something that I could just like be like, well, that's stupid and go on with my day. If you're a full on racist with influence on really on children, then no, you need to go.
He was like debating, like he was debating some other guy on Twitch, I guess. And he took like the racist side. I don't know what's the more positive term to call that side.
Human being.
I no, I mean to call that side. That's that side of the argument. I don't know how you, frame that.
A person.
Better.
That would be just a regular person.
So
the non-racist would be a human being.
No, but he took the racist side.
I'm saying you asked what would you call the other side?
No. I meant that side.
It's racist or a human being.
Okay, got it.
Those are the two sides.
Anyway, so to answer this guy's questions, why is this happening? What's going on? And I don't know that I have the answer. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that they're sick of making making these gaming videos and looking for something that's going to give them a little more fame or money or both.
If you made the joke at the top of the show where, you know, you get these right-wing pundits make a lot of money.
And they have power.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh is making, what, $20 million a year or something ridiculous like that?
Right. He's more than PewDiePie. See, these guys are big-name YouTubers, but they're not PewDiePie. You know, PewDiePie's the top by far.
And it's also, you know, you become a big pundit, especially in this climate. It's more than one channel. It's not just a YouTube. It's YouTube, or is it radio, or is it TV, or is it all three? I mean, Alex Jones is YouTube, and he may be making more than PewDiePie at this point. Who knows? I don't, but it wouldn't shock me to find out that he is.
Right.
That guy is frightening.
Yeah. Trump is bringing out all the best in everybody. It's good to see. He's a uniter.
Yes.
So I don't know that we have an answer. Shipwreck, do you have any thoughts of why this seems to be happening like now in threes?
Well, Shipwreck's a fan of all these guys. So
I don't know. Like, some of it is just, like you said, cheapy, like them wanting to move on to doing something besides games, maybe. Some of it is just maybe they're just not who you want to be admiring.
Right. And the environment right now is sort of more conducive to these guys.
Yeah, it's more permissive of this.
It's like if we had a gay president, you'd see probably a lot more people coming out. Don't you think? Wombat, you know all about gay people.
I do.
Don't you agree with my highly intellectual statement?
That was pretty, that was something, deep. I guess. I don't know if that's true, but sure, why not?
Psst, go with it.
Okay, yeah, totally.
It makes me think that YouTube may have a problem on their hands, though. Because the more this stuff happens, the more parents are going to really police the YouTube stuff.
Which they should be doing.
Which they should be doing, but they don't. You know, it's...
I know they don't.
It's difficult.
It's not difficult. By the way, it's not difficult. Because I think I've read that a lot, like people talking about, you know, what am I going to do? Watch, you know, watch everything that my kid watches. First of all, it's very easy to do that. You just log in with an account and you can see the whole history of everything they've watched. Also, talk to your fucking kid.
Right. But there's a difference
between... You know what my wife does every night?
No.
When she goes to... She
cries herself to sleep.
She goes before that. She goes into Sabrina's room, and she checks her YouTube history.
Yeah,
and her chat history. So there was a whole big conversation yesterday because Laura did not like something she found in one of Sabrina's chats.
Yeah.
So there was like a whole sit down conversation about why is this wrong?
Yeah, it's called parenting.
But it's not. It's not quite that simple.
It wasn't
though.
As bad.
Why not?
As
go on.
She might be thinking
because your kid could have been watching PewDiePie all this time, and you know that that's just like. Okay, this is the guy that plays video games and reacts to them.
Yeah, I think the general feel, you're right, because the general consensus of PewDiePie, you know, 3 months ago was that he's mostly harmless.
But that's only because no parent wants to spend 5 minutes with the kid and sit down in there and watch PewDiePie or any of these dudes.
Well, right. That's why I'm saying the problem is. It's hard to police it because there's no filter on this.
But it's not hard. Let's not pretend that it's necessarily hard. I know that people are busy and I do lead a charmed life and I have extra time to put into this stuff and I also have only one child. And I'm also technologically savvy. So I know how to look through history and stuff like that. But it's not really that hard. All it takes is just talking to the kid and then watching a little bit. You don't have to sit and watch.
I'm saying, but if you watched a little bit of a PewDiePie video from 6 months ago.
I did.
Did you find it offensive?
I found it offensive in that it was just inane blabbering. I forget about racist.
That doesn't necessarily make it inappropriate for your son to watch if you find it inane.
I decided that it was. I said, look, if you're going to watch something on YouTube, it should have some sort of value. So it doesn't have to be like 100% educational, but some value to it. Besides just like,
what
like
were
I
you
screaming.
Watching when you were 10?
Sesame Street?
At 10?
Well, whatever's on TV.
Yeah.
But
right.
somebody's moderating that on TV. That's been moderated.
Right, there's no moderation on YouTube. There's no...
I just want to know where you were watching G.I. Joe and somehow that wasn't inane.
Right.
That was just a toy commercial. First of all, that was a different situation in that...
No, it's not. It's exactly...
Both my parents worked and I, you know, what else was I going to do?
I watch G.I. Joe every day.
Right. I just think the same situation. A lot of parents, both parents work. They could look and see that their kids are watching like a Minecraft video from a popular like Minecraft person and go, okay, I'm fine with that. They're not watching porn or something. But you have I'm just taken aback
at the idea that that inane and offensive are the same thing.
No, they're not. They're totally not.
That's what you're equating it
to. I'm saying when I heard PewDiePie, for the first time, and I just heard him like babbling and screaming and all that, I decided that I didn't want my son to watch that because I find it annoying. And why would I want my son to start being, I don't want to use the term indoctrinated, if I'm going to say it right, but exposed to like something that I find annoying. I don't want that repeated back.
Everything
to me.
I watched as a child, my parents found annoying. I watched You Can't Do That on Television, and that show was annoying.
But it was funny, and they spent some thought.
It was funny
it
to you when you were 10.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's you're putting your sensibilities on humor and what you find funny as an adult.
No,
and telling your son he can't watch something that he finds funny as a child because it's not the same.
You know, who said he found it funny? He didn't say he found it funny. He didn't say,
because you didn't even give him a chance.
There's plenty of shit to do. He's plenty satisfied.
I just think that there's room in this world for a 10-year-old to watch something stupid that
he's not
10,
and he's not 10 now, and this was a couple of years ago.
All I'm saying is I think YouTube has an issue here.
Yes. It would be nice if it wouldn't be a bad, there is a YouTube Kids. That is
a thing. Yeah, no, there definitely is, but I think there's going to be a larger issue at hand because people aren't like they're used to just going to YouTube. They're not policing their kids closely enough on this stuff because it's difficult to do. Whether or not he's watching something cheapy that you don't find annoying, but then that person is also a huge racist who decides one day
it's possible.
It's like, oh, I'm unboxing these toys. And
I don't let them watch
that
either.
Also. Hate Asians.
Well, you could also, you know, that's sort of like that's the big, you never know with people. I mean, I don't know about you, but I used to watch this show in the mid-80s to I think even early 90s, where the guy who starred on that show may or may not be a serial rapist. So.
But there's a difference there, though. Like,
is it? Like, if it was just videos and the videos themselves are completely benign, literally, like you said, just unboxing mystery minis for 20 minutes a day.
I think there's complete difference there if they're not coming, like, it doesn't, I'm not talking about them as people, but I'm talking about them as the product that they're putting out there and what the kids or whoever's watching it are seeing, rather than, like, going to, it's the difference between liking Michael Jackson's music and knowing that he's a pedophile.
Alleged.
Sure.
I don't want to get sued by Paris Jackson.
Right.
She seems litigious. Allegedly litigious.
Good. Nice cover. Good job.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And generally speaking, I don't let Ty watch stuff that I find annoying. I mean, and that I would have to be exposed to, or I feel like it will shape his behavior in an annoying way. Of course, I let him watch cartoons like Voltron and shit like that. but I just don't see like somebody screaming and being annoying as something that I want my kid exposed to. Like G.I. Joe was not that. It was an entertaining show, and it had a message at the end, a positive message at the end of every episode that taught you.
It had nothing to do with what you just watched.
Right, but it still taught you that valuable life lesson, like don't talk to strangers or...
Don't hide in an old broken refrigerator in the dump.
Exactly.
That was Punky Brewster. I watched that episode of Punky Brewster.
Yeah, so I mean...
Stupid blonde kid that kind of looked like Shipwreck. What a jerk.
Yeah, it had redeeming value. That's what I'm saying. Besides just being
a
22-minute
because it had to.
Commercial.
I'm pretty sure there was a law in place.
What I'm saying is if PewDiePie, at the end of his hour-long annoying show, just gave a positive public service announcement, everything would be fine.
I'm just, yeah, whatever. I mean, there's part of me that thinks you're a little bit insane, but...
Me?
Yeah. A little bit
By
insane.
Not letting Ty watch PewDiePie?
Not PewDiePie, but you're the filter of inanity.
Of a what? Why? He's busy. He's got, there's plenty of really good
That's
content
fine.
To watch.
If he has other things to do, but to not let your son watch something that he would like because you don't
How
like
do I know
it,
he would like it?
It's not offensive.
Why would I assume that he would like PewDiePie? I just nip it in the bud.
I'm not even talking about PewDiePie.
Or something like
you
PewDiePie.
You said that
Johnny
if he was
Pie.
Watching something... That he found annoying, even if it was harmless.
That he found annoying?
And not offensive, and not hosted by a racist. Just something that you found annoying, you wouldn't let your son watch it.
No, well, that's
the only criteria.
That's not why. Well, I exaggerated a little bit there, I guess.
That's what I'm taking offense to. Like, okay. That's the whole criteria. It doesn't matter if it was a cartoon about a cat chasing a mouse and the mouse hits the cat in the head with a frying pan. You find that annoying? Ty doesn't get to watch it.
We started watching Simpsons and we've been going through the itchy and scratchy stuff. It's pretty great.
Yes.
I let him watch plenty of stuff. Don't worry. Kids screaming on YouTube, why would you let your kid watch that when there's just so much good content out there? That's basically what I'm saying.
I watch a lot of people screaming at things on TV. But
this is just a kid screaming into a camera. There's got to be something better than that.
And I'm sure there is.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we never answered the question about why these guys.
No,
I think they're just looking for more fame. Because
you threw me off. You knocked me off my center with your I don't let Ty watch anything that I find annoying. Okay. I'm like, I find everything my daughter watches annoying.
It oh really?
Don't let her watch
I don't.
It.
No, we.
She really likes that Dan TDM. I don't get it, but
I don't let him watch that. I know he likes to watch that because I don't know Dan TDM. I listened for 5 minutes. He sounded like a young guy who was just being silly, and I don't know what he's going to say over hours and hours of footage.
Yeah, he's just a young guy. He's silly. He's definitely, you know, he's probably more kid-friendly than most. He also is a character, you know, he does like, he was on the Skylanders cartoon as a character.
Yeah, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
He
also just seems to be a little smarter than all these other people that...
Who knows? Wait till next week when you find out.
I know, until he does something crazy. I know. Sabrina's going to see him live in a couple of weeks.
See? That's what I mean. These guys are big. And I don't know. I like more wholesome entertainment, like Yo-Kai Watch, with a ghost to all who makes people fart.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. What else we got here at Wombat's News and Stuff? Capcom's Disney Afternoon is coming.
Yes. Something positive.
Yes.
This is something that I couldn't imagine ever happening. Like, this is great. They're putting 6 of the old NES Capcom Disney games out in one collection for $20. These are all really good games. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 1 and 2, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales 1 and 2, and Tailspin.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And there's added features put into these games too. Did you read about that?
Yeah. Yeah, like there's some rewind feature that lets you rewind if you make a mistake. I know you're a big fan of the rewind, GP.
In Forza.
Right. And there's extra like museum concept art and making of stuff and everything. It seems like a good package.
So they're remastered versions of the game, or is it just the old games?
They're the old games.
Okay. It's not like the remake of DuckTales.
No. This is the straight-up 8-bit games from the NES.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Which is perfect. They don't need to update that.
Well, you know, in the remake of DuckTales, their mouths didn't move, and that drove me bananas.
So this is coming to not the Switch.
Nope.
Is it just not been announced for Switch yet, or is there like hard confirmation that this is not happening on Switch?
I don't think there's hard confirmation that it's not happening.
I'm sure it will eventually. Why not?
Yeah, I think, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Can't cost much.
Just take a little more time.
Well, they're just going to wait. Probably want to wait till the install base builds up a little.
How difficult could it be?
Not.
That's what I mean. So it may just be a matter of timing more than it's my guess. Timing. Mm.
Mm. It's great because you often think like these licensed games are just gone. Like you can certainly play the emulation of them and everything like that.
Right. But you know, getting a new version, you know, like a feature packed version.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love it if they also do this for the Capcom movie games.
I was
as well.
Just about to say the exact same thing. The Capcom movie collection or the Genesis collection with
you would just assume that that would happen if this does well.
Yeah.
And because Capcom likes to re-release everything.
Was there three Mickey Mouse games on the Genesis?
There was
Castle of Illusion.
Correct.
There was the one with Mickey and Donald, the co-op one, which was amazing.
Quackshot?
No, Quackshot was the Donald Duck game.
Oh, Mystery Circus?
Something. I forget.
Mystery Circus?
But, I would like to see that would be an awesome collection, too. I know people have a soft spot for the Aladdin games, but I was a big fan of that, the Mickey Mouse Donald Duck game on the Genesis. That I can't think of the name of, because I'm almost 40.
No, they were all great back then. Lion King was great. Why not? Let's keep
do
this.
Them all.
Keep this
World of Illusion. That's what it was.
Okay, yeah, World of Illusion, of course. Yes.
Castle of Illusion and World of Illusion.
So. While we're in multi-platforming, I rented Ghost Recon Wildlands from Redbox.
Just didn't have enough to play, huh?
I don't know. I knew the Blizzard was coming, so okay. I was at the supermarket, and they had it, and it was $3.
And?
And now it's $9 because I forgot to return it. I know. I was even at the supermarket today, and as I'm driving away from the house, I'm like, no, I forgot the game.
Stupid.
Yeah, I'm up to probably $12 now. It seems fine, the game. It's an open world, online or offline, co-op, military game. So you basically know what you're getting. And there's so many of these games out there now that like the realistic ones aren't that interesting maybe anymore. Like when you have robot dinosaurs in these types of environments and all kinds of fantastical shit, maybe just having access to real life helicopters and trucks and stuff isn't that exciting anymore.
Well, I mean, this is about the co-op more, right?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. And when I played, I didn't play with any real people, so the computer plays with you. I don't know. I mean, it didn't grab my interest, and like you said, I have so many other games to play. I just really wanted to check it out. It looks great. I mean, the visuals are great, and it seemed competent, but I feel like this is going to
get... Is it basically like Far Cry?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just gonna get. I feel like it's gonna get lost. There's just too many other big games out right now, and
I'm sure it will get a community that it'll do okay with.
Yeah, eventually, you know, they'll probably put out a lot of content for this game, and you know, the price will get down, and they'll put out a big update, and I don't know.
I don't think any of these companies realized what end of February into March was going to be like for all these releases.
Yeah, busy.
Because there's just so much.
Very busy. Let's talk about Nintendo for a little bit. At Duran603. Oh, we remember him from last week. For some reason, he wrote in. He said, curious to our thoughts about the outcry over Jim Sterling's Zelda review. We mentioned it briefly before. He gave the game a 7 out of 10, and his like site got attacked, and death threats, and people were very upset. But you knew that's coming. I'm sure he knew that was coming when he came up with that number. What are my thoughts on it? I mean, it's his right to give it any score he wants. When I played it, it didn't seem like a 10 out of 10 to me. A 7 out of 10 seems perfectly plausible. Right?
Sure. If that's what he felt like the game was to him and that's what he does, then fine. It's his whatever. It's his review. Whatever.
You're not going to burn his house down?
Yeah, I'm not going to criticize someone's criticism.
Why do people get so mad? It's crazy.
I don't know.
Because it knocks down their Metacritic score or something. I don't know.
Why does a person care?
Everyone knows that everyone who bought the game gets a bonus at the end of the year based on the Metacritic score.
Oh, when you buy the game.
Yeah, when you buy the game. If the game has a Metacritic score of 99, then everyone who bought the game gets a $5 bill mailed to them by Nintendo.
I think it's weirder when games have like universal praise. Like it, there should at least be some outliers.
Of course,
this.
Yeah.
I think it's universal praise to me is always suspect, and universal hatred always seems to be on the money. It's like, oh, everyone hates this? It's probably terrible. Everybody loves this? Something's weird about that.
Right. Well, it's not just that everybody loves it. It's like, I mean, that's a lot of tens.
Yep. Well, it's just like, it's just not going to be everybody's jam. Like, it's not like the old days of video games where you're like, yep, this is a really good video game. Like, there's a lot more nuance to it now. Like,
right.
Maybe people don't want an open world Zelda game without any voice acting or like the feeling of being lost.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Right. It makes perfect sense. I could perfectly see somebody saying, this game is not for me. It's probably not for everybody. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm sure he did a fine job explaining why. He's not the kind of guy that just throws a number on something and doesn't go into detail why.
Right. I'm sure you're especially sensitive to that when you're being paid by your audience. That's where your income comes from.
I was going to say, yeah, he's not working for anyone but himself.
No.
And he has only himself to answer to.
And he's not doing it for the views because he has no ads on his videos. It's just all his Patreon followers paying him. So, yeah, he's not even incented to make a clickbaity video.
There's some incentive.
A little bit, I guess.
Everybody's talking about Jim Sterling this week.
But
just like us.
But he's only getting money from people who actually go to and subscribe to his videos. So if you're...
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, hey, did you see that one guy who gave Zelda a 7 out of 10?
Yeah, but is that going to lead to you giving him money? Chances are, like, if you want to kill him, you don't want to give him money.
I don't want to.
Maybe you go there and you watch some of his other videos and you find him entertaining and.
Yeah, maybe, I guess.
Send him some money.
I feel like it's not.
Jim Sterling's got to eat.
Everybody's got to eat.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. And let's skip these questions. Where are we here? Sony. Let's talk about Sony. Big news for PlayStation Now. They are streaming PS4 games to your PS4.
What is going on? It's so weird. They're also, I get that they're also streaming it to the PC. That makes sense. Streaming to the PS4.
So somebody pointed out that that's the least environmentally conscious way to play a PS4 game.
The arguments for the reasoning to do it, they're very like flimsy. There's the instantly play it without having to wait for it to download.
I can wait.
That's right. And there's the bandwidth cap of maybe you only stream so much and you don't stream enough to, it'd be less than downloading the whole game.
Maybe. Could be.
Sure. But your experience isn't going to be as good.
If you have a good enough internet connection that you can stream a PS4 game and have it look good, you have a good enough internet connection to download a game pretty quickly.
Right.
I mean, confident. Is this more of a problem, though, of what PS Now is? Do they need to go towards that
right.
Xbox model of just downloading?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they do that? Like, I get it for the current, like the PS3.
Well, is it because they spent how many billions of dollars on that streaming service that they're not making any money on?
Oh, yeah. What was that called again?
Right? They bought some
I just company. Had it on the tip of my tongue, and I forgot what it was.
And they spent a lot of money on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Geico?
No, not Geico. I'm pretty sure it's not Geico.
I'm going to say 15% of my streaming.
Geico.
Yeah. How much did they spend on that? I mean, they bought this company. They're going to try to – they want to make a profit on it. I get that.
$380 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, I guess. Or maybe it isn't.
No, it is.
But still, I think the smarter way to do that is to still have that for PS Now. You could still do your PS3 games that way, but make the PS4 games downloadable.
Or maybe you have the option, stream now or download.
Well, the idea is you want to build this into Sony TVs. So for people who don't actually have a PS4, they could still play PS4 games. And that makes a lot of sense. Give people, I think giving people
who
the option.
Who are these PS TV people that don't?
Who are these Sony TV people?
Yeah, these Sony TV people.
That don't have PlayStations?
People. Yeah,
but I have a PlayStation 4 controller.
Are they in? Are they in the United States?
I don't know.
I don't think they're in the United States.
They're not in the United States, right?
Right. Why you think it must be some other region?
Why you're saying if you're in the United States and you buy a Sony TV, you're a Sony fanboy and you're definitely buying a PlayStation?
Probably. No, I'm just saying that it's
if you're interested. I'm saying that if you're
$60 for a controller or $250 for a console. You're not really saving a ton of money.
I'm saying that if you're really interested in playing the playing PlayStation 4 games in the United States, the accessibility to a PlayStation 4 is just a readily available thing.
Right.
And in many instances, probably more readily available than, you know.
A service.
The
game. Yeah, I see what you're saying is that PlayStation Now, the streaming part, sort of solves a problem that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
In the United States.
In the United States. I'm talking specifically in my own backyard.
Why? In other countries, why would it be different?
I don't know. I just don't want to speak for them.
Other countries that have fast enough internet service but don't
don't necessarily have access to the hardware as readily, or maybe their Sony is shipping more, you know, the streaming boxes or something.
I don't know.
Don't those things sell well in other countries? No? See, I thought they did. Shows what I know.
The thing that I don't even know what it was called. That little box that they.
PlayStation TV.
The PlayStation TV. That's what I called it. And you corrected
me. They can't be selling
that. I didn't want to say it again.
That's definitely not being sold anymore, is it? That's not.
I don't know.
It can't still be a thing. All right.
I'm happy that PS4 games are coming to PS Now, though.
Yes, I'm sure you'll see it get better. The
it would. I think they would, if they made them downloadable, they would get a lot of people to sign up.
Well, now that I have a 4 terabyte hard drive attached to my PlayStation 4, they could have as many downloadable games as they want.
Yeah, I mean, we praise the Xbox Game Pass because, I mean, it seems like a really good deal. If PS Now can do that and at least have the PS4 ones be downloadable and be around the same price, I think. That's a good move by Sony.
Mm-hmm. It just comes down to a question of where is there the overlap between those two services, and do you need both, or is it worth
nobody needs both? Wombat,
huh?
Nobody needs both. This is a strictly I want situation.
No, I mean, what one's better for? What would you prefer to have, though, the Xbox One or the Sony One, all things considered equal, both being downloadable services, but the overlapping games is, say, 80%? Do you still get both, or do you just get one?
Ship gets everything.
Well, yeah,
normal people probably don't.
That's what I mean. So that then it becomes a legitimate question. Like, okay, so 80% of these
people
games
only
are the same.
Have a PS4 or an Xbox One.
Exactly.
I don't think it becomes a question of subscribing to both.
Right. Only for big nerds like us.
Big nerd.
The biggest of nerds. All right. Where are we here? We got to get out of here. Holy moly. Let's go to the CAG bag.
All right.
At Drewith 99 asks, on a scale of 1 to gimme, how much are you anticipating Mass Effect? Andromeda does.
Well, hopefully I'll be playing it tomorrow or now while people are listening to this with my EA Early Access because I pre-ordered it digitally, my deluxe edition.
Braggart.
Yep. What I've been reading so far, and I've been trying to avoid things, but now people's impressions are coming out, so I'm sort of curious, is people say the game is very enjoyable, but it is not the best looking of games.
All right.
That it's actually very disappointing looking.
Oh, wow.
So
even on PlayStation 4 Pro?
Maybe. I heard the what I was reading on the train in passing, because I didn't want to read too much, was that Giant Bomb was doing a playthrough of the first hour, and that the animations were terrible. And I don't know what they were playing on.
Oh, yeah. That's like the new memes or the facial animations.
Yeah, bad people making animations. Fun of... Yeah.
And the walking. I saw one about one of the characters walking as well.
Oh, that's too bad.
And I heard that, you know, but the game itself apparently is there's a lot of exploration and the worlds are huge side missions even in the tutorial, and there's just a lot to do and a lot going on. So there's, you know, my guesstimate on this is maybe this Mass Effect is a little bit more like Dragon Age than Mass Effect.
Wonky.
Maybe. I mean, I loved I really liked all three Dragon Age, but the last one I really enjoyed, Inquisition. I know Shipwreck liked it a lot, too. I know Mr. Shipwreck liked that a lot.
Yeah, I never finished it just because it was super long and I was doing every side mission.
Mm-hmm.
But
That's what I mean.
It was good.
So there's part of me that I'm wondering if they went that route for this game, which would be an interesting take on the series. But again, I don't know because I might be playing it now for those who are just listening.
Stop bragging.
Yeah. How dare you. Pre-order digital because I had a little bit of credit.
I give you no credit.
Yeah.
Well, anybody with EA Access can play it early, right?
Yeah, that's true. You just can play
it. You don't
have
to pre-order digital. No. You just download it.
But then you only
get
like 10 hours though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the whole game.
No, but you only get 10 hours too.
I know. I'm just saying, on the day it comes out, I'll have the whole game.
Well, so will anybody else that buys the disc.
Shh. Don't ruin my fun.
All right.
Yes. I hope it's great. I hope.
Yeah, I'm excited. Answer the guy's question. Gimme. I say gimme, but I got to finish Horizon.
Right. I say gimme, but I have to finish Zelda and Horizon first.
Oh, Alexa's talking. She got woken up. Sorry. What else we got here? That's enough for today. I'm calling it a day. I'm tired from shuffling. So,
okay.
Follow us on Twitter at GPD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, at Video Game Deals. What else do you do? Listen to Wombat's other podcasts? Have you done any more Uninformed Opinions? Or
It's been a while.
Uh-oh. There's no more opinions. You know what the problem is? You got too informed.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Ship, anything to add?
I'm starting to put some more stuff away to try to meet my month deadline on that video. The game room video.
Oh, is there a month deadline? Did we impose a month deadline?
That was last week, yeah.
I forgot how we ended that. Okay. Yeah. Good for you.
So I've got like 3 weeks to go.
Excellent. I'm optimistic. All right, then. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Present.
Wednesday on Real People, cookie counters will never be the same as you visit an X-rated bakery. And on Different Strokes, Mr. Drummond loses his memory.
I'm sorry, but I've never seen you people before in my life.
I always thought I was unforgettable.
Then on Quincy, a track coach runs a star athlete into his grave. Was it murder or something else? Quincy searches for the answer Wednesday.
Sunday, in a two-hour special, join Gil Gerard, Dick Van Patten, Cindy Williams, and over 100 Hollywood stars in the greatest chips ever, Sunday.